Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello there, and welcome back to the Scaling Wellness Podcast. It's really great to be here with you, and I need to start this episode with a truth bomb. I need to confess. You might remember about a week ago, I did some batching and I was recording a few episodes of this podcast for January. And there was one episode that I was really uncomfortable about. And the reason why I was uncomfortable was it felt quite harsh. I felt like I was really calling people out in quite a strong way, perhaps in a way that I don't do much of. Maybe I don't do enough of it, who knows, but it felt uncomfortable for me and it didn't quite feel like it really was calling in the people that I want to speak to. I don't want to be here for the tough love. I will absolutely gently nudge you when you need it, but I don't want to be here to call people out and make people feel less than. And I felt like, although I re-listened to the episode, I really overthought this one. It felt okay, but it didn't feel quite right. And you guys invest in, you know, half an hour with me every week. And so I wanted to make sure that the stuff that I put out, I'm really proud of and I really believe in. And it really speaks to the people that I want to work with and, you know, portrays me as the coach that I am. So I have, after a lot of umming and ahhing, I have decided to re-record this episode. Even though I put a poll, and it's my most responded to poll ever, 100% of you said, just put out the original version. And maybe one day I will, but for now I'm re-recording it and I am going to speak in a more aligned, authentic way. I think I was tired last week. I think that's all there was to it. But basically this episode is all about some myth-busting. And there is a little bit of tough love. And I think what I want to kind of start this episode with by saying is that this is the kind of episode that is going to, hopefully you're going to feel like I'm kind of putting my arm around you, but also shoving you forward with those hands, with that arm, you know, really giving you a bit of a nudge forwards. Because yes, I'm here for the support. Yes, I'm absolutely here to help you and support you and help you to see your worth and see your value and keep going forwards. But I also want you to be aware that this world of online wellness is not the easy option. And so this nudge forwards, this kind of shove in the back is very much in that line of thinking that this isn't going to be your easy route forwards. And so if you're choosing it, it's really important to me that I bust that myth and make it really clear to you what this is going to take from you and the type of person that this is going to work for and the type of person that it isn't going to work for. So it's supportive. It's going to be no nonsense. But essentially, we're going to start by calling out what you might be thinking when you enter the online wellness space. You might be thinking, okay, this is going to be easy. I hear all the time, I really need to set up a passive element of my business. Now, what I can say, first of all, full disclaimer, is that this is not passive. All of my clients would agree with that. There is nothing passive about setting up a digital business. It's a business, right? So it is going to take from you what it needs, which is your time and your attention. So it's definitely not going to be a passive option, but it does have some big upsides to it as well. But if you're thinking this is going to be easier, quicker, calmer, simpler than your in-person businesses, that is not the truth. It has different wins, different highs, different lows. It's a different beast to your online, to your real life stuff. So really, in truth, I know a lot of people set up digital businesses thinking this is going to be the easy option. Or maybe you've set it up during COVID or during the lockdown And you're now wondering why it's not scaling. And this is why. It's because when the world shut down, it was the easy option to set up Zoom classes, to set up an easy kind of pay-as-you-go membership. That was the easy option. There was very low barrier to entry. People really want it. There was a long line of people who needed your help. But that is no longer the case. So your digital business has to be thorough, well thought through. It needs to have strategy, it needs to have a plan, it needs to appeal to the right person. It is not as simple as setting up something online and hoping people buy it. So if that is you, then I would switch this off now and go back to your real life teaching. But if you're like me and you see that as a challenge, then this is definitely worth listening into. Online is not easier, but it's a different kind of hard. And so that's what I want to start this episode with. It's not the shortcut. It is a long game. There is a long game here, but the potential is huge. So let's think about your business as it currently exists, your in-person business, your teaching, your coaching, your working one-to-one or in small groups with real life people. Now, this can pay well. It can absolutely make you a good living. But it has its limits. And I had a message just this morning from someone who was saying, you know, my studio is open, it takes about 5k a month, but after all my outgoings, I'm left with about £1,000. I don't get weekends off, I only get Sunday afternoons, I'm working all the hours, my clients want me. She's reached her ceiling, she's reached her limit. And actually that ceiling isn't even very high. It's not like she's reached this incredible stage and it's like, okay, you know, I can live with this. I'm working hard, but I can, you know, the rewards are worth it. Often the rewards aren't worth it. It has limits. So it's gonna be dependent on your time. And so your time is always capped. The hours that you can teach, the hours that you want to work are always gonna be limited. So when you are working in person, person to person, your time is your most valuable resource. That's what people are paying you for. And so you're immediately capped. You are also going to be limited to your location. So people that live near you, people that want what you offer nearby. And so if you are particularly niched or particularly strong in a certain area or you want to niche, that is going to be more challenging in the real life space. Now, having said that, most people that I meet don't actually want to niche. So that can actually be a good thing. If you want to run generic classes or coaching packages, you can absolutely do that. Your location becomes your niche. So the busier your location, the more demand there is nearby, the busier your business is going to be. You are limited by your energy, by the, you know, the interest that you have, the energy you have in the bank, the, you know, time you have available, but also your physicality. So from a movement perspective, if you're in the fitness business, if you're in movement, Pilates, PT, group classes, bar, yoga, whatever, you are going to be limited by your physical ability to do the job. Now, for me, that was something that I was worried about, because when you do something over and over again, you do end up with that kind of repetitive issue. So you can end up with repetitive strain injuries, you can absolutely burn out physically, but also there is an element of aging that needs to be addressed here. You know, at what point are you going to become unable to physically do the job that you do? So that is something to bear in mind. For me, that absolutely was something that I was aware of. Now, I do believe that you bring your clients with you, right? So I feel like most of my clients are my age and above, my teaching clients. And so I bring them with me. You know, as I age, they're going to age. I'm still going to be appropriate. I'm just not going to be the appropriate teacher for a 20-year-old. But I don't think that actually aging is a reason to move out of your teaching practice. But it's something to be aware of in terms of your desire to do it long term. And then, of course, in person, you are limited by pricing. You know, your price competition is going to be your location. You can't really, unless you offer something incredibly specific, it's very hard to price above what the local area is charging. And so, therefore, you link that to your time capabilities, your energy, and your price. And again, you have a cap. There are freedom costs that you pay for your in-person business. You are usually missing important things. You are usually scheduled to appointments. You are often working weekends, antisocial hours, evenings. And so although there is a flexibility there that you can be in charge of your own diary, once someone is booked in or a class is booked, it's actually very hard to change that. So that flexibility becomes quite inflexible once you have a busy client roster. And of course, there is the ceiling of how many people you can work with. So this is an impact for how much money you can earn, but also an impact ceiling. So how many people can you help? How far and wide can you spread your message? And so all of these frustrations are really normal. You're not ungrateful for what you have. You have hit a ceiling. And I think I want to start this episode, and I think this is where I felt uncomfortable when with my previous recording, is that I felt like I had to caveat that, guys, I'm grateful for what I have, I just want more. And so I'm going straight in with that caveat now. I don't want to have to say it again. I'm not going to say it again. Please be aware that just because you want more from your life and more from your business, it doesn't mean you're not grateful for what you currently have, okay? Just let's start with that. All of us are very fortunate with what we have already and what we've built and what we've grown and our health and our family and our lifestyles and all of those things. It's not to say that we're not grateful for what we have, but we're okay and allowed to have and want a bit more. And so my story, if you don't know, and some of you potentially won't know, is that I have been in the wellness world for over 20 years now. I've been teaching Pilates for 20 years. I've had studios, I've had staff, I've had team members, I've outsourced to other teachers, I've done corporate work, I've had community classes. I have literally, from a Pilates perspective, I think I've done it all, other than teaching other teachers. That was the one thing I never really wanted to do. So that's the one element I would say I haven't covered. But in terms of running a wellness business, I have been running it for 20 years and it has served me really well. You know, it's given me the lifestyle that I needed when my children were young. It's given me that element of flex. It's allowed me to have my own business, which is what I always wanted. I never wanted to work for anybody else. And so what I would say is I've tried every lever that I'm aware of in the real life teaching space to scale. I've pulled on all those levers. I've done the different types of work, the studios, the teachers, the every way I could think of to scale, increasing my prices, increasing my numbers. I've done them all and they all work, but they all have a ceiling. There is nothing in terms of real life business that can compete with an online business from a scalability perspective. And so what I found was the clients always wanted me. I found that there were always huge overheads that would often increase as my ability to scale increased. So as my numbers increased, the size of the space I needed, so my prices had to go up, then my rent went up. The freedom never really arrived, and nor did the scalability. So I didn't choose a digital route because it was the easy option or because I thought it was going to be the easy option. I chose it because I could see, and this is back in 2018, so this was pre-COVID, I could see that it was the only route to scalable freedom, impact, and a boost in revenue. I could see that that was the only way. I had to move away from me being the bottleneck. And so I did that in 2018.
I decided that I wanted to set up a digital business, and I landed on the idea of a membership. I landed on the idea that I could create this platform that would give people all the stuff that they wanted and needed, and they could use it between my classes. So if they couldn't get to classes or if they just wanted to do more, I was aware as a teacher that people weren't doing enough, that once a week potentially wasn't enough. And people were asking me for this. So I thought, okay, I'll set this up. Now, I think what happens and happened with me is that I thought that people just wanted more stuff, more to do. And actually, I know now in hindsight that that's not the case. It was slightly different during COVID. And this is where so many of you are struggling now, is because when you've set up your download platforms or your apps or your memberships, you've set them up with the perspective of people wanting more, because they did during COVID. But in reality, people don't want more. They don't want more to do. And if they do want a regular class, they're going to go to a local a local provider, most likely. What people are paying for online is slightly different. And so online work feels like it should be the easier option. But once we start to bear in mind that actually what we're used to doing is providing our knowledge and handing that over to people in return for their money, our time and our knowledge, what we now know, and what I now know, and what I teach my clients, is that actually people don't want more of your knowledge. They want your support. And so this is why putting videos online doesn't work. It might work from a visibility perspective. It might help to grow your reach. It might help to get people invested in what you do and how you do it. So from a free perspective, YouTube, online or social media, it might work from that perspective. But people aren't going to buy more stuff. And so what I know to be true is that the reality of working in the online space is not easy, but it is worth it. But there are some things that we need to bear in mind. The first thing is that you need to be increasing your visibility. To work in the online space, we need to be visible. We need to be growing an audience. We need to get really good at selling. You need to be really consistent. And you need to always be learning your craft. And this is where most people quit. First of all, they decide that they are not getting any traction on social media, so people obviously don't want what they have, so they quit. Or they decide that they're gonna put a post out that sells what they have, or send an email maybe that sells what they have, nobody buys, so they quit. That consistency piece falls off a cliff because you're not getting the results that you want fast enough, so you quit. And the idea of learning the new skills that you need to be able to sell a digital product feels too hard and is too time consuming. And so this is where most people quit. The reality is, what you have already, maybe you already have something set up digitally, maybe there are people using it, but no one's bought for maybe a year or 6 months or whatever. Maybe you've really plateaued. The reality is that you have something. You have something that you can grow, but you need to invest now in moving beyond your own capabilities, your skill set, which is your methodology. And you need to now invest your time and your attention into learning the digital landscape, because it is not the same. People come to your classes or your coaching for you. They come for more of you, to get an outcome from you. They tick a box with it. It becomes part of their lifestyle, becomes their weekly routine. They typically aren't coming for a very specific reason in real life, because like I said earlier, we tend to not be very niched. So even if you're a life coach, you've probably got people coming for all sorts of different reasons. If you're a Pilates teacher, you've probably got one person with a back pain, you've got another person with hip pain, you've got someone else who just wants to be more flexible. If you're a personal trainer, you've got this person that wants to lose weight and this person that's training for a marathon. Your niching in real life isn't really happening. So you're appealing to all sorts of people. Now, the difference online is that, yes, the same videos can work, the same content can work, but we have to be able to tailor who that content is for and what the outcome they want is. And so this, like I said, is where most people quit. Not because your stuff is not good, not because you're not good, not because you're not an expert in what you do, but because the way you are positioning it, packaging it, selling it is wrong. And your expectations for that are wrong. So most people aren't quitting because it doesn't work. They're quitting because it's slower than they expected. And actually, it's not as easy as they expected. Most of us go into the online space wanting something passive, wanting something we can just kind of set up in the side and just let it do its thing. But actually, in the online space, that's not going to happen. Your job and the job of any online expert, so we're talking Davina, we're talking Yoga with Adrienne, we're talking Joe Wicks, we're talking Caroline Circuits, we're talking all of those online experts. They are all doing this stuff. They are all strategically improving their visibility. They are all actively selling. They all have consistency over what they do, and they are all always upgrading their skill set, or they have got to a point where they've got a team of people that they can bring in to do that for them. None of them are putting stuff on the internet and waiting for people to buy it. And so that's where online is not the easier version. Now, this is where I want to get really clear, because it's not easy, but it is possible. And I want you to really be open-minded to the fact that this can work for you. Here is the person that this is going to work for. And I'm kind of loosely basing this on myself, but also pulling in some real characteristics of what I see in my clients when it works. Okay. Now, first of all, you are happy in your life. You have gratitude, but you want more. And this is the ambitious wellness expert. This is you. If you're listening and you're still here, this is you. You might be A-type, you might be a perfectionist, you're probably used to getting things right, you're probably used to doing quite well academically, maybe you're just used to things working out for you. You try hard, you're going to put the work in. You are ambitious, and you're ambitious for your life, but you're also ambitious for yourself. You don't like losing and you don't like getting things wrong. So you now are at a point where you want more income. You want to boost that income and scale it to a point where you can say, right, I am going to have a serious contribution to my family. I'm going to be making decisions over holidays. I don't want a family committee to decide whether or not we're going to shop at Tesco's or shop at Lidl. I want to make that choice because I'm contributing. So you want that scalability. You want to be able to say, I'm going to buy us a family holiday. I'm going to buy my son a car. I'm going to fund them through university. I have the ability to pull on a lever in my business and be able to fund the choices that I make in my life. So rather than limiting your life to the business that you have, you open your eyes to the life you want and you create the business that supports it. Now that is the type of person this works for. If you are someone who is really keen to build that sort of security in your business long term, beyond your time, beyond your energy, beyond what your body is capable of, and you want a wellness business that can function for the future, then this is the type of business you need. If you are sick of working evenings and weekends and you want security, you want freedom in your business, then this is the type of business for you, because you absolutely are not on the clock. You absolutely are not selling your time in return for money. You are scaling something that doesn't matter where you are in the world. It doesn't matter that you're not at your desk by 9 a.m. It doesn't matter, because it is working irrespective of you working. And this, having this choice, is not greedy. It doesn't make you I'm really sorry, my dog's sneezing in the background. It doesn't make you greedy. It doesn't make you ungrateful. It just makes you ambitious. And I love working with ambitious wellness experts. I don't want to work with wellness experts who are full of excuses, full of reasons why it's not working. Instead, let's identify why it's not working and let's come up with a plan. I'm not here for the excuses. And I think this is where the tough love comes in, because we all have reasons why this couldn't work. We all have inner beliefs. We all have criticism. We all have external dialogue of people telling us it won't work, internal monologue of our own deepest, darkest fears. We all have restrictions on our time, restrictions on our money. But what I see in my clients that is different is they are not willing to settle for plan B. They are here for plan A. They want to contribute. They want to make decisions. They want to build a piece of work that has some legacy. And they want to be known for what they do, because they are experienced wellness experts who have something to offer the world. They want to share globally what they do. And they have ambition around that. So wellness and ambition often feels like a bit of an oxymoron, the two can't exist in the same space. I'm here to tell you they absolutely can, especially for women, especially if you are here to serve and you want more. Service and ambition can sit side by side. And when they do, that's when the goosebump magic happens. So this is the type of person who thrives online. You're willing to do the uncomfortable stuff. You're willing to push yourself out of your comfort zone, knowing that you will get no's, that people will ignore you, that you might have a post that fails. You might have trolls that come into your world that hate you just because you're existing online. You're willing to push yourself out of your comfort zone. You're willing to take action without a guarantee that it will work. But having that belief and having that sense of direction that you know there's possibility, and you trust yourself to be the type of person that will make it work, that will see it through. You sell before you are ready, before it feels perfect. We work in my world on minimum viable product. We put things out into the world that are less than perfect, but still provide solutions for our clients. We can tidy up as we go. As long as we lead from a space of service, it doesn't matter if we've got the perfect branding or the perfect font or the perfect bio. All of those things will come, but we start selling before those things are perfect so that we can test our market, test our products, put ourselves out there and be uncomfortable before we feel ready to. And the final thing is that you are the type of person who is going to stay the course. Even when it feels hard, even when others retreat, which they will, people around you will retreat, even when it feels like it's not working. Those are the moments where you are on the precipice of that next step. When I see my clients saying things like, I'm just really worried about this, or I'm really worried I've had no sales this month, or I'm really worried that all these posts flop, usually that real worry, that moment of panic, is usually the moment where we get the real clarity, where we have to go after sales. We have to tidy up our messaging. We have to make those steps. And then on the other side of that fear is the leap forwards. There's always a moment that feels really hard where you have the opportunity to make a choice. You quit or you keep going. And if you keep going, almost always, in my experience from myself and my clients, there's almost always a leap forwards that happens if you keep pushing through. But you gotta hold the stare. You gotta hold your nerve, knowing, believing that on the other side of that is everything that you are working towards. The online space really rewards people who are consistent. It doesn't have to be brilliant. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it's consistent. It's not the most expert people who win in this space. If you're thinking, I don't know everything I need to know yet, they're not the people that win. The real experts are the people that are still out there doing the training, getting more qualifications, learning more. They're not the ones that are making money in this space. So if you want the money, the freedom, and the impact, you start now, because you are enough of an expert to win in this space. You know, if you look at the people out there that are doing this, they're not the best. Joe Wicks is not the best trainer. But he has that persistence. He stayed the course. He held the stare. He was persistent in his goals. And your confidence in this space will come from the action, not the other way around. We don't wait for confidence. We take action, and that builds our confidence. Okay, so I want to just talk to you about some of the failures that I have had, because I think it's really useful to see that this isn't perfect. It wasn't perfect for me, and it won't be perfect for you. I have had so many struggles along the way. I have had so many products that I have scrapped, so many things. I think so I have a Pilates membership at the moment. And before that, I think I had 5 or 6 courses and another membership, all of which closed down, all of which, you know, did okay, made some money, but weren't quite right. But they all led me to the point where something worked. So I had to go through that. I have had free workshops where no one turned up. I've had launches that I'd spent hours working on, no one bought. I have spent a fortune on ads without really knowing how I was going to convert those people. So I've invested money without really having a true strategy over how I'm going to use that. I don't let my clients do that, by the way. I have had so many moments where I didn't think it was going to work, where I lacked the belief, where I didn't believe this was going to be possible for me. And every time all of that happened, all of those things went wrong, the thing that kept me going was two things, actually. The first is just a persistence and a bit of a kind of terrier personality. I don't like not getting things right, and I don't like it not working. And so I have a bit of a personality trait that will just keep pulling on that cord until I get the outcome I want. But the other thing for me was there was no plan B. I had no one coming to save me. I had no, you know, rich family, trust fund, wealthy husband. None of that was coming. I had no Hay House Publishing knocking on my door asking if I wanted to write a book. I had no huge influencer deciding that they're going to talk about me today. I didn't wait around for Marie Claire to knock on my door and ask me to contribute. I didn't wait around for Stephen Bartlett to invite me on the Diary of a CEO. Because all of those things are potential things that will happen down the line, but they are not coming to save me. You have to start in order to get to those things, rather than assuming that by not getting those things straight away, you're failing. You know, by not being featured in podcasts and magazines and on stages, that you're failing and you're not good enough. Whereas in actual fact, it's the opposite. You've got to start in order for those things to happen. So though no one was coming to save me, I had no plan B, and I knew that if I pivoted, it didn't mean I was quitting. And I think that's one thing I want you guys to come away with from this. A pivot is okay. You're allowed to change direction. You absolutely should, in some cases, change direction. We should be reiterating. We should be refining what you're doing. You're not quitting just because you close down a membership and decide to start a course. You're not failing if something isn't working for you anymore. The difference is that we are still here, we're still invested in doing the work, but we're choosing a different route, and that's okay. Learning how to fix your model rather than abandoning it completely is what makes you successful in this space. So all of the failures that you have, all the failures I've had, they're just information for me. And so let's tidy this up and finish up with your next steps. You get the choice. You can choose your hard. Business is going to be hard either way. In person is hard. Not having freedom is hard. Not having income is hard. Not having impact and legacy is hard. But so is online. Working extra hours is going to be hard. Learning new things is going to be hard. Pushing out of your comfort zone is going to be hard. But for me, low risk means low ceiling. High effort, high risk means high reward. And I am here for bold moves equaling bold outcomes. This business suits people who are ready to step back from your identity as a coach or an expert and push through into your CEO identity, your business owner energy. This is not about setting up a side hustle or a passive income. Moving into the online space is not about another hobby. It's about moving into your business owner energy. And that's where the breakthroughs will come for you. And so if it's feeling hard and you're already in it, you are not alone. You're not bad at it. You're not behind. You are just stretching. You're not failing. You're just not scaling yet. Your consistency will be rewarded. But it's really important that we don't just rely on consistency, but we actually look at strategy and make sure we're doing the right stuff in order to get the biggest outcomes. And so if you are still here and you're still listening and you're still trying, you are capable of this next step. If you haven't embarked in the online space yet and you recognize yourself in this episode, then I'm here for you. But if you are already doing the stuff and it's not working, then I am absolutely here to support you through that pivot, through that reiteration, that reinvention of your online product. If you would like more help with this, I have a workshop on Wednesday this week. It's on the 21st of January. If you're listening to this and you're too late for that, there will be another one in February. So check my website for that. It's carolinekopp.co.uk, and I'll put the link below. But if you're listening to it slightly later, don't worry, there is another one coming. But if you'd like to come on Wednesday, I'm going to talk to you about how we create wellness programs that scale, what the strategy is, what the actual behind the scenes stuff is, the step-by-step process. So I will see you there if you are interested. And thank you for listening for this long. I know it's been a long one. I think it's better than the first iteration, if I'm honest. So I'm glad I re-recorded this. I'll see you guys really soon. Thanks. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.